No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed.
Hey!
Keith is, I don't know, flying or on hiatus, running from the law. And the tank, what are we going to say?
Some of the above
okay.
might be true.
Take your pick.
Take your pick.
So it's Ed and myself and our special guest, Dennis, who is a newly certified pilot, instrument pilot.
Newly instrument rated private
That's
pilot.
Exactly what I said in my mind. It just
to technically correct
didn't
terms
come out.
Just don't seem to come out of Greg's mouth.
Well, they will when I'm... you know, being tested. This isn't an oral exam. It's just a radio show.
Haven't you realized every week is a test for you?
Yeah, well, true.
Diego's going to have a field day with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My flight and, well, my flight
Well, actually,
examiner.
Diego retired. So he's going to have to find
just
another
in
one.
Time.
There you go. Well, see,
he
I
saw Greg coming.
He
went running.
I have nothing to worry about. All right. So, Dennis, what have you been up to, man, since you got instrument rating?
Well, I figured since I already got that under my belt and had just passed the written, gone through the oral, it's like, why not go all the way? I looked through my logbook and actually have all of the hours I need for a commercial and, for that matter, a CFI. So I figured, why not just keep going since everything's still fresh?
Wow.
So, cool.
So, no, wait a minute. Commercial certificate.
Yep.
And then a CFI?
Flight instructor.
You're going to be a flight instructor? That's what you want to do, Dennis?
Well, you're not getting yours done, so maybe I'll have to come down and finish you up.
That's not a bad idea, because on my time frame, that might work with my schedule.
You have 5 or 6 years of experience before you start working with him.
Exactly, and I might need it.
Yeah. But you would have to get, or do you have to get your commercial first before you pursue?
Yes.
You do.
Yeah, yes. That's a prerequisite.
All right, so are you already into commercial flight instruction training or what?
Yes, I am. So what I did is I already got the written test behind me. So that was actually pretty easy since I had just taken the instrument written fairly recent. So a lot of the same material, just a little bit more on some of the aerodynamics and theory and restrictions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty easy to knock it out, actually. I was in and out of there in under an hour.
That's good.
That was great and with a good score. And then we just started flying our Cessna Cardinal because you're required to use a complex aircraft to do the maneuvers and the landing. So out with the Cardinal and start doing power off 180 degree accuracy landing. So chop the power in the pattern and put it in without touching the throttle and make sure you hit your mark within 200 feet.
Yep.
So that Cardinal is part of your flying club's group
yep,
of planes,
that's what,
right?
That's one of the two airplanes we have in the club. It's okay. the Cessna 177RG or the Cardinal. So it's a retractable gear, 200 horsepower, 4-seat airplane. It's very similar to the Cessna 172. It's just a little bit faster because we can tuck that gear out of the way.
All right. Yep. And you have to power off and do what now? You got to...
So when you...
Just like
when you come in for a landing, you're at that 45 degree point in the pattern and you start to pull your power back and, you know, pull it back to 1500 RPM on a 172
mm-hmm.
and you're coming around and making your base and your final.
Yeah.
Well, one of the commercial maneuvers is called a power off 180. So when you're at that point, parallel your touchdown point, you actually pull the throttle back to idle. And you fly the pattern such that you put the airplane down without ever touching the throttle. So you're coming down essentially power off.
Just like we've simulated with you, simulated engine failures in the past.
Right.
The only difference is it's a precision landing. You have to touch down at the spot, not short of the spot, mm-hmm. or no more than 200 feet past the spot.
Got it. So the key would be to power off at the point where you expect to land?
Yeah, abeam it
on
the downwind.
Your altitude would be what?
It
would be
1,000 feet.
At the pattern.
At the pattern, mm-hmm. which for us in Orlando.
1,000 feet AGL.
Well, or 1,100, I thought.
That 1,100 MSL.
Oh, okay. So, but if it wasn't that, it'd have to be what it is for that local airport?
Yeah.
Right.
So what's your field elevation there,
pattern,
Dennis?
We are 960 feet. So
yours is 1,900, 2,000, something
right.
like that?
Yep. Yeah, I normally fly the pattern at 1900.
Okay. So you have to power off and then run the full pattern or take your 180 right there or what?
Well, would you think if we pulled the power to idle on the downwind, if we tried to fly our normal traffic pattern, would we make it to the airport?
No. Okay. So you would have to take your 180 and just land.
What's the first thing I taught you about when I simulated an engine failure?
Turn back to the runway.
Turn to the airport.
Yep.
Shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Correct.
So in fact, that's what he's doing in this procedure. But the issue is he has to make sure he not only makes it back to the airport, but he has to make it back to that spot on the airport minus 0 feet plus 200.
Okay, so you do that, and you've been practicing, or you've already done that skill with a flight examiner?
No, you have to do all of that for the flight examiner, so I've just been practicing with our club instructor who knows that airplane extremely well, and
yeah.
So we're trying to get all the settings and things, you know, kind of figured out for this particular airplane, and some of the tricks we found, because it is a constant speed propeller, if we need to extend the glide, we can actually pull the propeller back to minimum RPM, which actually flattens the pair, makes a wider bite of the blade, so you have less air resistance from the windmilling propeller, and you can actually feel the airplane start to accelerate. It goes from being a speed brake out in front to more of a glider. So you can keep that in your bag of tricks to extend that glide if you look like you're coming up short. Obviously, you know, you start your turns earlier, depending on where your winds are coming from, to adjust or use the wind to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, when you're practicing a skill like that, do you have to let the tower know as well?
Absolutely. We actually have to coordinate a close-in approach because they're expecting you to fly that normal box pattern. Mm-hmm. And so we actually, in one case, had to do a 360 in the pattern, but at least it was at altitude, unlike on final.
Why are you guys laughing?
Because that's where you did it.
Well, I did what she told me to do. I just
there
wasn't
was
supposed.
The problem.
Yes. Well, hey, my wife appreciates it. My flight examiner does not. Long story. Go back. Listen to one of those past episodes that they busted my balls about that. And you can catch up with the rest of the class. All right. Well, it sounds like a fun skill to practice. But
well,
yeah.
Now remember when Tom Haynes was going through all this?
Yeah.
That was one of the Lazy 8 were the two things he hated the most.
Yeah. Well, I could see why. I mean, that is a little bit more nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It's a big challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, now the 177 RG or versus the Aero, we literally had to be not only probably our downwind had to be flown about a quarter mile out of from the runway. Normally we're about a half mile, so we're in close to the runway, and that's what Dennis was talking about there. And the other thing is when the power went out, I said count to three and turn, and he's like, what? Count? I said 1, 2, 3, turn.
What, one Mississippi, one
wait. No, just 1, 2, 3 and then turn. And he was amazed that it put him on the spot every time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Now, you do, as Dennis was talking about, you do have to adjust for the wind conditions of the day and
right.
have to read the wind. And you know,
but if you know the
on
plane...
On flight test day, you got to do it right the first time.
Yeah.
There are no mulligans.
Well,
you can always go around, but they're going to make you
actually,
do it again.
With the power of 180, you cannot, according to most examiners in our area. Yeah, and that's something you want to have clarified in that pre-brief.
I'd want to have that discussion because, you know, we've always been taught that a go-around is always an option.
Absolutely, and you know what? The examiners down here have always preached the same thing, but when it comes to the commercial power of 180, they're all the same saying, no, the FAA says to us that's a one-shot deal. Either you make it or you don't. Because you're simulating an engine failure and being precise on the engine failure. So, in true safety issues, if you are in a safety situation where you're losing speed, you're going to be short go around, yes, you're probably going to have to do that again on another day. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah. I guess their thinking is you're only going to get one shot if you have to do this in the real world.
That is the approach this FISDO is taking. And it might be, and this is the wonderful thing about the FAA, it may be differently up where you're taking the test in Minnesota, Dennis. And that's why you just have, like we talked about before the instrument, have that conversation with the examiner before you get in the airplane so you know what the expectation is.
Good to note.
Yeah. Well, counting to three, And knowing when to turn like
well,
that.
Well, that's the Piper Arrow. That's completely different.
It's about knowing your airplane, right?
It's not that much different.
The Cardinal's the same. Just open the little crank window and toss the crowbar out and follow it.
Yeah. They're not known for gliding. None of them are. They don't glide quite as well.
But knowing the timing is knowing the airplane.
Exactly. That's what he was talking about.
But the wind, how do you factor that in? The wind could totally throw that whole game plan off. So how are you going to...
You may turn sooner. Or you may turn later, depending on where the wind is.
Depending on which way it's coming and how strong
and
it is.
And if you turn the base and you look like you're getting high, well, then you change about 10, 20 degrees back out away from the pattern, away from the runway, that then you can adjust that way. Or you could bring your flaps on early, or you could do a slip.
Oh, that sounds way too complicated.
Everything's too complicated for
Well, hey now. He's probably right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And I'm flying so high, high off the ground, when you're around.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, who's helping us out right now, a newly certified instrument pilot, training to be a commercial pilot, which means, you know, he'll be able to fly me around wherever I need to go.
You can hire him as your personal pilot.
I like this idea.
But you have to have
But he
an
will
airplane
have to buy his
that.
Own airplane.
But you have to buy your own airplane.
I'd be happy to pilot it for you, Greg.
Well, we have Keith's credit card. And since
I was
going
to say,
here,
Dennis, you know, you could get paid to do this job, but it's Greg. Come on.
Right.
You're paid with my presence.
He's the hardest working man in the scuba radio industry.
So. Yeah, so scuba, flying, and boating. Why not? I got them all. Anyway, it's really who you know, and that's the whole key.
Yeah.
This allows me to make
how much money can he possibly make working 4 hours a week?
It's not about money. It's the love. I get paid in love.
Yeah, how's that go with the bank?
I'm not really feeling much of it right now. So, anyway, what is your time frame to get your commercial certificate, you figure?
I'd like to get it done by the end of June.
End of June, really? That quick, huh?
Yeah, it's just a matter of
all the time, the total time, and all those requirements met. It's not that much training.
But once he gets that, I mean, does that allow him to fly people around just for whatever reason he wants?
Okay.
Or do I got to split the gas thing? Is this where that comes in?
Okay, yeah, that is where that comes in. He'll be able to be paid for to fly, but he cannot provide the airplane because that would be a charter operation, Part 135. So if you bought an airplane for Scuba Radio and for Just Plane Radio, he could then fly you to all your events, and you could pay him to fly you in your airplane to all those events. He could get paid to be a photographer in the air. He could get paid to do aerial surveys of, you know, power lines, wildlife.
Banner towing. Banner glider towing.
I could pay him with T-shirts and hats and things.
Well, pay is pay. You know, if he'll agree to that.
Compensation. Giving me the airplane for free is technically compensation.
You're exactly right.
But I have to give him the plane. He can't provide a plane.
Correct.
So he could rent a plane that he would fly.
No.
We can't do that either?
No, you can't do that because that's him providing you the plane. Who's checked out in the airplane? He is. Who owns the insurance in the airplane? Well, the flight school does. So you have to own the airplane, insure the airplane, maintain the airplane. He can manage all that for you, but he cannot provide the airplane.
All right, how do we get around all this? Isn't that what
that's called? 134.9 and guess what?
What?
You as the aircraft owner would have no penalty, but Dennis would lose his certificate.
A penalty for what? Why would
for
there be?
For doing illegal charters.
Oh, for doing it improperly.
Yeah. And well, like I say, the owner of the airplane doesn't get hurt. The person chartering the airplane doesn't get hurt. Only the pilot, because he's the only person the FAA can reach out and touch.
He's the only one that should have known better.
Exactly.
Because he's the one that had to accept responsibility for the flight.
Okay. Well, I see no downsides from my perspective. I say, let's go.
Of course not.
Okay, but now, maybe I'm a little
jaded.
You want
to split expenses with me? You and I can do that all day long,
okay.
Whether I'm private pilot or commercial. But it would be, you know, since I have the hours, since I've got all of the requirement flights have been met in, you know, 28 years of flying, I figure it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, one of the things I was going to bring up is that, you know, you're getting this commercial done, Dennis, but you know, and you're probably good to get it done now before some of the changes that are about to come in one way, but also it's negative in another way. It looks like just this week the FAA announced a notice of proposed rulemaking to change Part 61 rules that will remove the requirement for the complex airplane from the commercial training. And it's actually been something that the industry has been pushing for about 5 or 6 years.
So what makes it complex? Is that the flight gear thing, retractable?
Retractable gear, variable pitch propeller, and flaps is the definition of a complex airplane.
Hmm.
And previously, or still currently, I should say, there's the 10 hours if training required towards a commercial certificate. You have to use a complex airplane on the commercial check ride as well as the flight instructor check ride. And the proposed rule will remove the need for a complex airplane and put in a requirement for 10 hours in a technologically advanced airplane for commercial training in the commercial check ride and in the CFI check ride. What that means is a glass cockpit airplane, an airplane that has a primary flight display, a multifunction display, and a autopilot. And so, which are much more readily available than complex airplanes. You know, we have pretty much everything in our fleet would qualify for that.
Right.
But
do they test those skills? Like, hey, put it on autopilot and let me show that you can run this kind of thing?
Do. Yep.
But the other part about the retractable landing gear, you wouldn't necessarily have to do that if that was a type of plane you weren't going to fly anyway.
Correct. That would just be, now, you as a if you ever became a private pilot.
Real funny.
Yeah. If that was the case, you could get signed off to fly a complex airplane simply by me as an instructor training you in it and endorsing your logbook for complex operations. And that will still be the case. And so a commercial pilot that wants to fly a complex airplane, we will have to give them endorsement. A flight instructor that wants to teach in a complex airplane must have the complex endorsement on their commercial certificate.
Mm, okay.
And so that part will stay the same. Now, the reason they're doing it is they're not building new retractable gear airplane anymore. Everybody's building like the Cirrus and the Corvallis and high-speed airplanes that don't need to have the gear retracted. The gear retraction system is expensive to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So all the airplanes out there that we can use are now 20, 30 years old, 40 years old. And so an aging fleet is very expensive to maintain. Just like, you know, when we had to retire Charlie Mike, it was getting too expensive to maintain a 30-year-old airplane.
Right.
And keep it in a budget that the customer could stick with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually a financial thing and a financial burden they're trying to relieve from the flying public.
So if he waited, actually it would potentially be easier for him to get his commercial certificate if this
goes
through.
In my case, not so much, because our flying club already has the complex airplane. We actually don't have a technically advanced aircraft. So it's either a steam gauge 172 or a steam gauge Cardinal with a retract.
Yeah.
So now, in my case, this makes sense.
I think what they're going to do, I have not actually read the full notice of proposed rulemaking, but it sounds like they may be making the either or option. So situations like you're in, you have the complex, you could use the complex. Situations like I'm in, I could use the TAA. I don't know if that's the case. I've not read it, so I've got to do a little bit more research to find out. Now, the TAA airplane is becoming more common, and their reasoning behind this is if somebody's going to be a commercial pilot, they should be able to fly it. So they may have done their instrument rating in a standard gauge airplane, but we want them to do training in the glass cockpit airplane. If they're going to be a flight instructor, they sure better have getting some training in it, so they could, because then they're going to be able to go out there and teach somebody in it. And so that's still not final, because what the notice of proposed rulemaking means is you as a pilot in the industry can go out and comment on this rule, say, yeah, we think it's great, or no, we don't think it's great. They evaluate all of that, and then if it all makes sense, then they announce the final rule, and then it goes in effect 6 months after that.
There you go. FAA.gov. Probably the place to go, right?
Yeah, just go online and search.
Google it.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
I wonder what Jimmy Buffett, what is his certification? Would he have to be a commercially certified pilot to fly around all his bandmates and family and stuff like that, or no?
Technically, no.
No? Technically, no.
Because he owns the aircraft.
Well, we don't know. He might.
Yeah. Don't know what level he is. He may be a commercial pilot.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But this new rulemaking change the FAA is currently taking comments on.
Yep.
Part 61. There's more elements to this that you wanted to address today on Just Plain Radio, or what?
Yeah.
There, Ed. What do you think?
One thing that had been taken away from us had to do with the use of the simulators, like our Redbird FMX. Previously, we were able to use 20 hours in the Redbird FMX towards an instrument rating, and that, however, had been through not a regulation, but a letter of authorization, and they rescinded all letters of authorization, so it cut us back to 10 hours. Hmm. Well, they reinstated that in May, so that's back. The notice of proposed rulemaking is taking it a step farther, and actually is what was legal until 2009 for instrument currency. So now, like Dennis, you got your instrument rating, you got to stay current, you got to do your six approaches within 6 months, and hold and DME arc and all that stuff. He can do that in the clouds. He can do that with a safety pilot. He can do it with an instructor, but he's got to do that to be able to fly in the clouds and file an IFR flight plan. Now, previously, the rule had stated if you want to do all that in a simulator, like specifically the Advanced Aviation Training Device, which is what the Redbird is, what a number of the Frascas were, Elite, those are all AATDs, you would have to do 3 hours of simulating flying, including all those tasks, every 2 months. So it was as expensive as flying an airplane with an instructor once every 6 months. So what they're going is they're going back to the way it was before, that you can do your six approaches, you can do your holds, you can do your arcs, all in the simulator. And you don't have to have the flight instructor with you anymore. You can do them solo, because that's the way you do it in the airplane. So we actually have a rule coming from the FAA that makes sense.
More efficient?
Yes. I'm kind of a little scared. Is the earth about to end?
It's a sign of the end of days.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go, fly, be free.
Time for me to fly. I want to set myself free.
Time for me to fly.
That's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
REO Speedwagon on Just Plain Radio. They're touring with Def Leppard and Tesla right now in a city near you, possibly. You can look them up and put your arms out and sing along with that song as a pilot. People will know you're a pilot and that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
So do they pay you for that plug?
What, REO Speedwagon?
Yeah.
No, that's just a flashback to the 80s. Oh. Come on.
So you're having flashbacks now?
Yeah. That's all I remember.
Don't tell your AME about that.
Shh. Then we'll edit this out in post.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. All right. So this is Just Plain Radio. And did we cover all this stuff on Part 61 or what? Or is there stuff?
There's more stuff.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the super big highlights that I think are
so
major.
You like this?
I like the changes.
The movement.
It makes sense. We've been, like I say, we as an industry have been fighting for a lot of these things for the last 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And that when I was with that group, the advisory group with Cessna, that was one of our major pushes was to get rid of the complex airplane requirement.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of lobbying of that, and AOPA has, and AEA has, and everybody's been pushing for it. So, traditional government, it takes them a little while to listen.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to make it easier for folks to get into, commercial piloting and stuff like that. And when it comes to you, Dennis, you're not doing this to become, a pilot working for one of the airlines or take this on a professional level. You're just doing this to advance your skills and just give you more options and things and just become a better pilot, so to speak.
Exactly. It, after getting my instrument rating and realizing I'd been out of the training, for so long, there's still a lot to learn. And now that I'm kind of back in that mode, for me, it's really simple to just go and add this on and prove to myself that I can do this. I can fly to that higher standard of a commercial pilot. And I've got a couple of kids that are learning to fly as well. So, it doesn't hurt for me to stay current with that because, they're coming to me for help and questions on how to flight plan and how to do this and rules and whatnot. So if I'm already having to review all the information, why don't I apply it?
True. Yeah. And if he buys his own airplane, then he can take me around, can't he?
No.
That still won't work.
You have to buy the airplane.
I have to buy. I don't understand how this works. Why do I have to buy the airplane? What if I just say, fly me around?
When you call Uber,
yeah,
are you renting the car or the driver and the car?
Driver and the car.
When you go to Enterprise and get a car, are you renting the driver and a car or just the car?
Car.
So that's rental.
Yeah.
You hire Uber to drive you or a limo. You hire.
Yeah.
So that is for hire.
Correct.
Whereas when you come and rent an airplane for me, you're renting the airplane.
Right, I understand that.
And
so
when you,
I would like to Uber Dennis.
Remember, we went through that before, how illegal that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't do that.
So like when you come to me and rent the airplane and my time, that's for hire. And we have to do 100-hour inspections on our airplanes. We don't have to have extra certification to do that. But when you come to a commercial pilot and say, can you fly me here in your airplane? That becomes Part 135 and is where the line is drawn.
Okay. So he would have to go through all kinds of extra certifications.
A couple of years of certification with the FAA, inspections on the airplane, everything on the airplane, hoses, engines.
So the only way around that
with is recurrent check years. Rides for the pilots, all of the requirements to hold a 135 certificate, and it's not trivial to obtain that certificate and maintain it.
Yeah. So I got to buy the airplane and then say, okay, Dennis, take care of it for me.
Yep.
Hmm.
I got just the airplane for you.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it take Keith's credit card?
No. Nope.
Caravan on amphibs?
Caravan on amphib floats.
What, like Mark Baker, like we were talking about last week with Tom Hanks' airplane? We got one of those available?
I got one of those available.
How much?
What are we talking? Probably about 2.5. That's used.
Mil.
Yeah.
And a preferred customer discount.
2.5 total add after discount.
Okay. Well, let me call Keith, my banker.
Yeah.
Because, that's who he is.
Yeah. I think he'll say, oh, hell no.
No. He would say, can I come along too? I mean, if he did that, he might like this idea. I got to teach him how to swim. I was like, look, you buy the airplane. I'll teach you how to swim. I'll take Dennis scuba diving. We'll be good to go. Everybody's good. And I'll throw in some Just Plain Radio hats to put some icing on the
cake
there.
Good luck with that.
You don't think that'll fly? Literally?
Literally.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to make that comment to the FAA. Hey, loosen it up just a little bit more. I would rather just be able to have Dennis fly me around. What do we got to change? What laws do we got to change to make this work?
Let's make less regulation. Have you ever met people in the government?
Have you seen how hard it is to become an airline pilot now? How many hours are required to get an airline transport rating, which is now required to fly right seat in a commuter airline?
Ironically, no, I haven't. But that may be just
1,500 hours.
It didn't used to be.
And Keith can tell you stories about when he didn't used to be. And, it may not be a bad thing, but... couple of the other things that have come out starting in June 15th, the new airman certification standard for the private and the instrument will be out, which is the rules for the actual flight test. And actually, it's the rules for the flight test and the written test. They're combining them. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. So that becomes active June 15th. But more importantly, the new test banks for the private and the instrument are starting to be used June 13th. So we, after that point, the industry will not have had access to any of the questions other than the 60 sample questions that they gave us when they introduced this. So remember when you went through Maggie's ground school, you went through like 800 questions in a weekend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those questions are no longer valid.
So there's going to be a whole new test.
Whole new test.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen the sample questions. I like some of them. I dislike others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of threads. If you go out to CFI Academy on Facebook and join the discussion, Rod Macchio brought one up, and we all got kind of jumped on and said, the right answer was not even one of the options.
That's not good.
Yeah. And his point was, yes, we learn from teaching, but we also learn from testing. If you pose that question to me and I answer it and I answer what you think the right answer is and there's a better answer, but you gave me that question, I'm going to think it's okay to do that in the real world. And it's talking about being within 6 miles of a thunderstorm, and the FAA standard is 20 miles. And so this question doesn't even give you that option of don't go there.
Yeah.
And so it can lead you to the wrong decision. They were trying to test a few other things, but and they're going to say, well, it's the best answer, not the most correct answer.
Right.
And so here we go again into the same bowl that we've been dealing with for the last 50 years.
So we had how many questions from the old test?
Like there were 800. The private pilot airplane bank was about 834 questions.
Okay. And so the new bank of questions is going to be
how
much?
We don't know.
We have no idea.
We have no idea what any of them are.
Until the 13th of June.
Even then, we won't know.
They're not going to let us know.
Previously, we could download the test and search through the test for changes.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to do that for 5 years.
So they're not going to allow that anymore, or we just don't know at this point?
No, they're not going to allow that anymore.
So the key is, if you have to take the test, is get it in before June 13th.
That's right. That's why you're in ground school in the next two weekends.
Is that what I got to do?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be in Cuba. Can I do it in Cuba?
No.
It'd be easier there. I don't think they have any of those rules.
No.
You got room for one more in there? I'll send my son down, too.
Yeah. Sure. Send him on down. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. It's Memorial Day weekend you're doing that?
Yeah, because we got to get them all into the test before the 13th.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Another delay.
Yeah.
But now it at least gives me another excuse.
Oh, you already had plenty of those.
Yeah, well.
Just get it done, Greg. I can help you if you want. There are ways to cram for that test and get it done.
Who's to say the new test will be easier, though? Might be
Who's to say that you've got the study materials? All those questions are changing. Right now, you can go to the Gleim Red Books. You can go to Shepherd Air. You can go to American Flyers. You can go to all sorts of different resources, King, Sporties.
I've already passed it once. So how hard can it be to pass the
over 2 years
over
ago?
Over 2 years ago. It's expired.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, you know, I'm saying the
What did you
batch.
Have for lunch yesterday?
Oh, geez.
Right.
Gosh, I can't remember.
You and I are about the same age, and my retention is not as good as it used to be. So I wouldn't try to go walk in and just take that test without thoroughly preparing for it.
I think I had some form of meat. Doesn't that count as an answer?
No.
Actually, I think it was a...
It's the most correct answer, but not one of the available choices.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Waiting 30 minutes before swimming after eating is a medical myth. However, flying after diving can be a serious issue. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you why next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Flying after diving is hard to avoid. DCS, also known as the bends, is a risk, but can be managed with forethought and planning. The depth and length of your dive and the rate of ascent back to the surface play a huge role. Quickly ascending to altitude in an airplane can exacerbate the issue. And that's why you should wait a minimum of 12 hours before flying after one dive and 18 hours after multiple dives. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
Oh, yeah. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. And Dennis is helping us out today. A newly certified instrument-rated pilot.
Hey, he got it right.
Third tries the charm.
Yes, he's working on his commercial. All right.
Then I become Captain Dennis, right?
All right, so here's a scenario for you. All right. You're departing a Class D airport, like Orlando Executive, where we train at here for Just Plane Radio.
Where some of us train.
Well, yeah. And Ed runs a flight school. And you're doing a VFR flight path. So visual flight rules. You got flight following from ATC. And you're handed off to the nearest Tracon, right? Tracon. Yeah, that's what I said. And establishing communication with them. And the controller issues a vector for traffic and provides you with a heading and altitude. You acknowledge the vector, but quickly realize that continuing at this heading and altitude will put your aircraft into Class B airspace, which would be like Orlando International, and would be a big, big no-no. The frequency, however, is so congested that you can't communicate with the controller, and the Class B airspace is rapidly approaching. What should you do? Should you veer away and not do what the ATC controller has told you to do?
You've got a multitude of layers of questions and issues and regulations you're kind of got to go through here in a split second.
Yeah.
One, I'm not cleared in Class Bravo. I shouldn't enter Class Bravo. However, I have to comply with the controller's instructions until I get a, you know, change.
Or do you have to comply because you're VFR and he's giving you a traffic advisory? As a VFR pilot, don't we have an obligation to see and avoid?
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. You have to include that. I mean, if it's like, okay, I can turn and parallel this, or I can hold my climb and stay underneath this airspace shelf, you know, and it's not going to put me anywhere near any of the airplanes he's talking about, then I believe you could. But you still have to realize, yeah, they are expecting compliance, and there's actually a regulation associated with that.
Yeah, which would be, let me look at the article again. FAR 91.
See, I told you we could quiz him on that, and he wouldn't even remember.
Yeah. You'd be violating FAR 91 if you did not comply with the
Which agency. One, Greg? Come on.
FAR 91, 123.
Ah, he can read.
Yeah, vaguely. It's a little fuzzy with these new glasses.
But believe it or not, that is the type of question that's now going to be on the written exam.
Well, that's confusing.
They're putting scenario-based questions. And just I was talking about the one we were commenting on the Facebook page, CFI Academy.
Yeah.
That it's a scenario-based question, and they're talking about weather and airport traffic patterns and what's the calm wind standard for that airport due to noise abatement. And trying to see if you'll land on the runway with the wind at your tail, or if you'll land into the wind, or into what is the expected wind. But they're forgetting the concept of, what are you doing there? You're supposed to not be within 20 miles. As a private pilot, you shouldn't be anywhere near there. You should be not within 20 miles of that thunderstorm. You should have said, oh, thunderstorm within 6 miles, rain hitting the ground, which means outflow has occurred, so there's going to be a gust front with it. That gust front usually comes about 5 miles in front of the storm. They should not be attempting to land at that airport. That's the right answer. So here we go. Another question. That would be a great one. You'll probably see it on a FAA written exam, and they'll give you three options for the answers. We're already sitting here, and you know, Dennis had one view. I had one view. You could read. That. How can we narrow this down to three multiple choice answers? This is a oral.
Well, we just came up with three.
Well, exactly. But which one's the correct one?
Probably D.
None of the above.
Yeah.
And so that's why our point with this commentary that we got. Well, actually, Rod Machado got started. Rod Machado got started. It brought up the fact that this is a great oral exam question.
Mm-hmm.
An open-ended oral exam scenario question to see if they identify all the factors and tie in the fact that we shouldn't be there anyhow. Let's get the heck out of there.
Yeah, because that's what you really want them to hear.
Really. Like, and it goes back to, you know, what Dennis was talking about earlier about the concept of, okay, you know, when the FAA says no go-arounds on a power-off 180, it is totally, totally going against what we're teaching and what the pilot should do in the real world.
Got it.
If so they have an engine.
Oral answer would be, all right, well, if I was in this scenario, I would deviate if I felt I could avoid the Class B airspace without, you know, affecting other traffic in the area, being very visually aware.
Mm-hmm. I need to follow the ATC instruction.
Yeah,
that would be a good answer in the oral exam.
Yeah, or I would have.
But
never
plan on getting a phone number from air traffic control to talk to them after you land.
Yeah,
because you're going to have to explain why you just busted the Class Bravo.
It's like, who do you? What intern is working the mic there at ATC today?
Yeah, usually with that, if you could have been, okay, I tried to get back once I realized I was going to be in Bravo airspace, but the frequency congestion was too much. and I couldn't get your, you know, get authorization to deviate from your clearance as per regulation. Boom.
And by the way,
the conversation's done. They're not even going to tell you to give them a call.
Yeah.
And okay. Get a NASA form filed as soon as you
land. Absolutely. As soon as you land, file a NASA form.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, your ATC person doesn't know what they're talking about.
There may be some retraining for that controller, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
we're in my case, you know, when that incident happened to me back in the day, you know, it was just an air traffic controller in training. And she didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah, she's now fully trained now and still doing stuff like that.
Yeah, well, but that was before she knew better and before I knew better not to listen to her.
That's the key thing.
Now I know better. Now I know not to listen to anyone. And I've, you know, created an entire radio
training with anything I've told you.
Yeah, see? So there's a bright side or silver lining?
I guess.
All right, let's just end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.